You've heard the saying, don't take the law into your own hands, you take them to court. There's a corollary saying, or there should be, if you take them to court, hire a good lawyer. That is, don't try and represent yourself. Everybody's a genius, but three recent cases show the folly of trying to be your own lawyer. Joining me with details, procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell. Now, Joe, obviously you want people to hire lawyers to do this, but there's really good reason to, isn't there?
These cases will illustrate some of the pitfalls you run into. Most contractors who go to the Court of Federal Claims or the Boards of Contract Appeals have a lawyer, but some don't, and sometimes that works out well for them, but in three recent cases it did not.
All right, so the first case was a small company, and they were trying to get certain costs, deferred compensation, into their cost-plus contract. What happened there?
Well, the company, as it should have, filed an appeal from a contracting officer's decision denying those costs. But the case probably was dragging on a bit, and one of the co-owners got impatient. So he went in and he said, well, I want my share of it, and he sued separately. And he went to the court and federal claims and lost, and he ended up at the appellate court. Now, this guy did do his homework. He looked at a bunch of legal cases and decided that this doctrine or that doctrine helped him. So he made a bunch of arguments, but he took each of them out of context. Probably the most creative argument was based on the famous Supreme Court Hobby Lobby case, which said that in a closely held corporation, the sincere religious beliefs of the owners had to be taken into account. In that case, they didn't want to fund contraception under the Affordable Care Act and the insurance coverage. He tried to use that to say, well, this is a closely held company, and so I should get my money directly, and that didn't wash. The Hobby Lobby case was decided under the Religious Liberties Act, which didn't have anything to do with cost allowability.
Yeah, so he passed the plate there and nothing happened too well, huh?
Not at all.
All right, so the second case was interesting also involving a small business.
Right. In this instance, the owner of a small company was denied a contract by the Bureau of Prisons, and they said that her company lacked responsibility. She appealed to the SBA because she was small, and you can do that as a small company, but the SBA upheld the determination of the Bureau of Prisons, so she went to court, Court of Federal Claims, and represented herself. This was an instance where this company had some success in religious education programs in prisons and tried to branch out into other areas, but they had a very bad record of having some contracts where she either turned the contract down because she couldn't get anyone to teach the course or accepted the contract and then couldn't perform the contract, and the Bureau of Prisons was nice enough to cancel it instead of terminate her, but she still couldn't perform. At the end of the day, those facts were determinative, and her bad record kept her from getting this contract.
So you really have to be honest with yourself on a case like that and look at your own record, and maybe she could have concluded, maybe there's a reason they didn't hire me this time around.
Yeah, that's sort of one of the things a lawyer can do for you, is can give you a dispassionate view of what's going on, and obviously some people can do that for themselves.
And why does this take a 36-page decision, by the way?
Well, I think that was very generous on the part of the judge. She was being extremely thorough and making sure that all of this woman's arguments were answered and discussed in great detail. So she did get her days in court.
We're speaking with Joe Petrillo. He's with the law firm Petrillo and Powell. And this other company, a third one that was also, I guess, we can't tell really, a small company for a maintenance contract overseas. What happened there?
Right. This is a contract to maintain an electrical generator at an army camp in Iraq. And it was a contract that was held over the period of 11 or 12 months. At the end of it, the contractor hadn't been paid, apparently, and submitted an invoice, and the contracting officer said, well, that's fine, but where is your acceptance document? We don't know that you perform these services. And there were various back and forth letters and such, and the contracting officer ultimately denied the claim for compensation. And it went to the Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals. We know where there was more back and forth, and reading between the lines, it looked like there were some language problems here as well. This was an Iraqi company, apparently. And at the end, the company produced what it said were two documents, two DD-250s, proving that the services had been rendered and accepted. The problem was, in one of them, the person who signed was an Army captain who provided an affidavit saying, no, I never signed it, and by the way, I'd left Iraq several months before the date on this document. So that didn't look very good. And the other one, the person who was, again, an Army official, just signed by his first name, which didn't make a whole lot of sense. So the board found that neither document was credible and denied the claim.
It was only $9,000, but I guess it shows even something as big as the Army, which has a lot of contract problems overseas, was able to at least catch one, sounds like, just someone trying to cheat.
It does sound that way. I mean, you really can't tell whether the maintenance services have been rendered or not. It's possible that they were, and the fellow just never got the appropriate documentation. But it's pretty clear that what he did submit was made up, and that can get into even worse problems than losing $9,000.
And in your experience, when people try to represent themselves, if maybe you've faced such people in court over the years, what's their motivation? Is it to save money or to kind of prove something?
Well, most of the time it's to save money. I mean, lawyers are not cheap, and a small company sometimes has difficulty affording an attorney. But there are people out there who feel it's necessary to vindicate themselves, and representing themselves is a way to do that. The law has limitations on what it can do, and you have to accept those.
I guess as a rule, probably the judges would prefer you to have professional counsel, I imagine, also.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. With counsel, you get a certain level of competence, and the people who are representing contractors in this instance, a good lawyer knows what the process is, and things move a lot more smoothly and a lot more quickly.
Is it possible to use an attorney, say, to maybe prepare you to go to court, and then you have those hours you've got to pay for, but maybe when you do go in, at least with that preparation, you've got a possibly better chance?
Possibly, but in many instances, that's just not enough. There are ways to cut legal fees and to do things more efficiently. At the Board of Contract Appeals, if you don't need to provide testimony, you can present your case in document form, on the record, it's called. And that significantly cut costs. The government is using alternative dispute resolution techniques that end up in mediation and settlement of disputes. And those have had, I think, a very, very good effect. We've had some good results from that process, and it's good for the contractor for the government in terms of cutting down on the time they spend litigating disputes.
Good advice. Joe Petrillo is with the law firm Petrillo and Powell. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Share this interview with your protesting friends. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.